with God, yet not another God. John 1:1 in God's own form. Introduction. John chapter 1 verse 1 is often treated as if it automatically proves that the Logos is a second divine person beside God. The usual argument is simple. John says the Logos was with God, so many assume there must be one divine person standing with another divine person. But that assumption needs to be tested by Scripture itself. The phrase with God does show relation. It does show distinction. It does not, by itself, prove a second center of consciousness, a second divine person, or another, I, beside God. Scripture already gives a category where something can be personally related to someone without being a second person. That category is the body. A man can love his own body. He can cherish it, nourish it, care for it, and honor it. Yet his body is not another person beside him. Loving his body is loving himself. This gives a powerful biblical way to understand how the Logos can be with God and yet not be another divine person. Thesis. The Logos in John chapter 1 verse 1 is the title John gives to God's own form in revelatory action. His eternal spiritual body is foregrounded in divine communication and manifestation. The Logos was with God because God's form is personally related to God's own being. The Logos was God because God's form is not created, external, or separate from God. It is God's own form. Aspectival monotheism affirms what Scripture shows. God is one spirit being, who is soul, has his own eternal form, and has his own spirit. These are not three persons, three gods, modes, or parts. They are real, inseparable aspects of the one divine identity. Part 1. God is spirit being. Scripture first identifies God by kind of being. Jesus says, God is spirit, John chapter 4 verse 24. That does not mean God is the Holy Spirit as a named third person. It means God is a spirit being. God is not physical, earthly, mortal, or made from creaturely material. He is the living God, and his being is spirit. From there, Scripture gives real language for God's own life. God speaks of his soul, Scripture speaks of his spirit, and Scripture speaks of his form. In this setting, soul is not being used as the type of being God is. God's type of being is spirit. Soul names the personal I of God, the Father himself, as a real aspect of the one divine identity. Scripture does not present God as a blank, shapeless idea. God is the living God. He speaks, sees, acts, reveals, loves, judges, and dwells among his people. Scripture also gives language for God's own inner reality. God speaks of his soul. In Isaiah chapter 42 verse 1, God says, "My soul delights." This identifies God's personal I, the living center of divine identity. God is not an impersonal force. God is personal. Scripture also speaks of God's spirit. Paul says, "The Spirit of God knows the things of God, just as the spirit of a man knows the things of a man." 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. The Spirit of God is God's own inner spirit, his inward life source and divine reality. Scripture also speaks of God's form. In Numbers chapter 12 verse 8, Moses is said to behold the form of Yahweh. In John chapter 5 verse 37, Jesus says that the people had neither heard the Father's voice nor seen his form. God's form is not a created idol, not a temporary costume, and not a second God. God's form is his own spiritual body. Just as a man has his own body as his personal form, God has his own uncreated spiritual body as his form. Part 2. What John means by the Logos. John begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The word, Word, or Logos, is not being used as a name for a second divine person. The Logos is the title John gives to God's own form in revelatory relation. God reveals himself through his form and acts by his spirit. John himself gives the doorway for this. In John chapter 5 verses 37 to 38, Jesus speaks of the Father's voice, the Father's form, and the Father's word together. "You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you." These are not random, disconnected terms. John places voice, form, and word inside one field of divine communication and divine revelation. God's voice is real. God's word is real. God's form is real. The form cannot be treated as unreal, empty, or inanimate while the voice and word are treated as meaningful. This also explains why John uses word John is not merely naming God's form as a static object. He is naming God's form in its revelatory function. The word designates God's own form as the foregrounded reality through which God speaks, reveals, communicates, and makes himself known. The term word does not replace form. It highlights what God does through his form. Even at the human level, the body is not silent or meaningless. The eyes are often called the window of the soul. The eyes are not the soul, yet through the eyes the person is disclosed. In a limited creaturely way, this shows how form can serve revelation. The body is not merely present, it communicates. In a higher and perfect way, God's form is not a static object. God reveals himself through his form. This matters because John does not say, "In the beginning was another God." Nor does John say, "In the beginning was a second divine person." John says the Logos was with God and was God. John says the Logos was pros ton theon, with God or toward God. The phrase shows relation and orientation. But relation and orientation do not automatically define the Logos as another divine person. John then says the Logos was God, which prevents the Logos from being treated as a created thing outside God. So the issue is not whether there is distinction. There is distinction. The issue is what kind of distinction Scripture allows. If with God automatically means another person beside God, then John chapter 1 verse 1 becomes the doorway to a second divine center of consciousness. But Scripture gives another category, personal relation without personal separation. That category is found in the way Scripture speaks about the body. Part 3. A man can love his own body. Paul writes, "So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it." Ephesians chapter 5 verses 28-29. This passage is devastating to the claim that love always requires two centers of consciousness. Paul says a man loves his own body. He nourishes it. He cherishes it. He treats it with care. Yet the body is not another person beside him. The body is not a second I. But neither is it a mere tool, shell, container, or dead object. Paul does not say, "Love your tool." He says a man loves his own body, and the one who loves his wife loves himself. That means loving one's own body is a real form of personal self-relation. A man's body is personally related to him because it belongs to his own being. The body is distinct from the inner self, but it is not separate from the person. It is his own embodied reality. This must not be misunderstood as a part-whole argument. Scripture does not present man as a pile of detachable parts. Man is a unified living soul being. His body is not a replaceable tool attached to the real person inside. His body is an aspect of his unified creaturely existence. That is why Paul can speak of loving one's body as loving oneself. The same caution applies even more strongly when speaking of God. God is not composed of pieces. His soul, form, and spirit are not detachable parts that combine to make God. Each belongs fully to the one divine identity. God is holy God as soul, holy God in his form, and holy God by his spirit. The distinction is real, but the divine being is not divided. This gives a simple biblical principle. Personal relation does not require interpersonal separation. Part 4. How much more God and his own form? If a fallen man can love his own body without that body becoming a second person, how much more? Can the perfect God be personally related to his own form without his form becoming a second God? Man's body is mortal, weak, and affected by the fallen condition. Yet Scripture still speaks of it in personal terms. A man nourishes and cherishes his own flesh. Loving his body is loving himself. God's form is not fallen. God's form is not mortal. God's form is not created physical flesh. God's form is his own eternal spiritual body. So if a man's fallen body can be loved, cherished, honored, and personally related to him without becoming another person, then God's own perfect form can certainly be personally related to him without becoming another divine person. This answers the common objection to John chapter 1 verse 1. The Logos, being with God, does not require the Logos to be a second divine self. God's form is with God because it belongs to God's own being. It is distinct from God's soul, but not separate from God. It is personally related to God, but not another personal subject beside him. Checkmark the Logos was with God. Checkmark the Logos was God. Both are true because God's form is distinct within God's own being and yet fully belongs to the one divine identity. Part 5. Why no image can represent God. This also helps explain the command against making images of God. The problem is not that God has no form. Scripture speaks of God's form. The problem is that no created image can represent God's living, holy, uncreated form. An idol is dead. God's form is living. An idol is made by human hands. God's form is eternal and uncreated. An idol is outside God. God's form belongs to God's own being. So the command against images does not erase God's form. It protects the glory of God's form from being reduced to a created object. God's form is too holy, too living, too glorious, and too incomparable to be copied by stone, wood, metal, paint, or imagination. The living God cannot be represented by a dead object. Part 6. The simple logic of John chapter 1 verse 1. John chapter 1 verse 1 does not force a Trinitarian reading. It does not require one divine person beside another divine person. It speaks of God and his own, logos, the title given to his form in revelatory relation. Checkmark the phrase, with God, shows distinction. Checkmark the phrase, was God, shows identity. The body analogy from Ephesians chapter 5 helps keep both truths together. A man's body is with him in the sense that it is personally related to him, expressive of him, and distinct from his inner self. Yet it is not another person. It belongs to him. Loving it is loving himself. In a higher and perfect way, God's form is personally related to God. It is not a separate being. It is not an external object. It is not another divine, I. It is God's own spiritual body. Aspectival monotheism preserves this biblical pattern. God is one. God is not divided into persons. God is not switching modes. God is one spirit being, who is soul, has his own form, and has his own spirit. The Father names God as the personal divine soul. The Logos names God's form in revelatory relation. The Spirit of God names God's own inner spirit. John chapter 1 verse 14 raises its own set of questions about the emergence of Jesus and belongs to a separate treatment. The focus here is narrower, what John chapter 1 verse 1 requires, and what it does not require. When it says the Logos was with God, conclusion. John chapter 1 verse 1 does not require the Logos to be a second divine person. It requires a real distinction within the one God. Ephesians chapter 5 verses 28 to 29 gives the needed biblical category. A man can love his own body without the body becoming another person. His body is not a second I, yet it is not a dead tool. It is his own embodied reality. How much more can the living God be personally related to his own eternal form? Question mark, check mark the Logos was with God because God's form is personally related to God's own being. Check mark the Logos was God because God's form is not created, separate, or external to him. The mystery is not two divine persons standing beside each other. The glory is the one living God revealing himself through his own form and acting by his own spirit.